retirement is the best kind of succession because it obviously isn't as a result of somebody dying or getting sick. They want to hopefully live a nice long life and have the opportunity to pass it on. And the successor could be their children. The successor could be their spouse. It could be other partners they have in the business. It could be key employees, or it could be selling the business. You know, in order to do proper succession planning, you need to really understand, is there a successor in place? And does that successor want to be there? A lot of times children go into the family business either out of obligation to the parent or because they can't really get a good job and the safest place to make a living is in the family business. But they may not really want to run the business. So, you know, even if you have children in your business, it's important for the founder to make sure that the children really want to continue the business. And the founder has to look in the mirror and say, are my kids really skilled enough to take over this business? And, you know, if either the child or children don't want to continue the business or they're not skilled enough, then you really have to look in another direction, which could be another partner, maybe some key employees, or you may have to plan for the sale of the business.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hello, this is Annie Nelson, and welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. Today, our special guest is Stephen Goodman, and for more than 30 years, he has been the president and CEO of SHG Planning, providing insightful solutions to the challenges of business succession, wealth preservation, retirement, and charitable planning. Steve is currently services hundreds of clients, focusing on the needs of the owners of closely held businesses and high net worth individuals. Steve Goodman is the author of Business Succession Planning, A Guide to Transfers, Sales, Family Harmony, and Minimizing Litigation. He has also written numerous articles for leading trade journals. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thanks for having me, Anne.
You're welcome. So whereabouts would people find you if they were looking for you?
My business is in the New York metropolitan area.
Okay. And how did you get down this track into the financial planning area for businesses?
Well, it's interesting. Grew up, you know, kind of middle class, didn't have a lot of money. When I went to school, I initially graduated from college with an undergraduate degree in accounting, kind of went in that direction for a period of time, then worked for a major private bank and got very interested in what we'll call overall financial planning. And within a short period of time, started to do work with a certain number of closely held business owners that were family businesses. And I found of all the planning that I was doing, it was the most challenging and interesting. So although not every client I deal with is a family business, a good number are.
Right. They're very important too. The number of small family businesses around the world, they're the mainstay of any economy.
Yeah, without a doubt, you know, from small companies up to, you know, major companies that are still family businesses.
And so you're all about helping businesses plan for succession. So what would be some of the most significant obstacles that family businesses face when they're looking at handing the business over to the next generation?
I would say there's a few common obstacles that you find. The first one is getting the founder to focus on planning, because entrepreneurs are very busy and they focus their attention primarily on what's in front of them today, what fire they have to put out. And to do planning takes time. It takes months and months, and it's ongoing. And you have to give up a little bit of what's needed to the time that's needed to deal with current issues to do planning. So that's one big obstacle. The other things, a lot of owners of businesses know that it becomes very difficult to decide who's going to be their successor. You know, when you have children, you are always telling them how much you love them the same and how much you're always going to treat them the same. At some point in life, you realize you have this sizable business and maybe only one of your children are involved in the business. And you have to decide, am I going to leave that business to that one child? Am I going to leave it to all of my children? You know, there's a multitude of ways to do this. Each has different problems attached to it. But if you go the route of leaving it to the child who's in the business, a lot of times the business owner doesn't want to address that issue with all of their children because they know that somebody's not going to be happy. And if one of their children are not happy, that means the child's spouse certainly isn't going to be happy. And when you have grandchildren, you want to have a good relationship with your grandkids and you don't want to make your child and son-in-law or daughter-in-law not like you. So sometimes business owners don't address these issues. So, you know, that's probably two of the main reasons that we find planning doesn't get done the way it should.
And planning takes time. So what sort of time are we talking about? Should business owners be looking at it the year or a few years ahead of time?
Well, I would say to you that when they do it the first time, it's going to take a while because there's so many questions that need to be answered. And, you know, I would say to you that it's not uncommon that it could take, you know, 6-9 months to do somebody's succession planning. Once you do it the first time, in order to update it, you know, which should be looked at in every couple of years, you know, obviously then, unless something, you know, significant has taken place in the family or the business, the updatings, you know, usually don't take as long.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there could always be that sudden change in businesses as well when someone may suddenly get ill, could throw a spanner in the works.
Yeah, I mean, look, somebody getting sick or dying, you know, besides all of the obvious problems associated with that, could have a major bearing on the succession of a business because if somebody hasn't planned and unfortunately they pass away, everybody has a succession plan. You know, whether you plan or not, you have a succession plan. And that is, if you die, your business gets left to somebody. It's normally either going to be your spouse or your children. Whether or not the business could survive after you're gone, that has a lot to do with the management team you have and the successor and their skills. But there's always going to be a problem when an unforeseen death or illness takes place because nobody's ever planning for that happening.
Mm. And I assume when they're planning for succession, they're looking at retirement.
Well, retirement is the best kind of succession because it obviously isn't as a result of somebody dying or getting sick. They want to hopefully live a nice long life and have the opportunity to pass it on. And the successor could be their children. The successor could be their spouse. It could be other partners they have in the business. It could be key employees, or it could be selling the business. You know, in order to do proper succession planning, you need to really understand, is there a successor in place? And does that successor want to be there? A lot of times children go into the family business either out of obligation to the parent or because they can't really get a good job and the safest place to make a living is in the family business. But they may not really want to run the business. So, you know, even if you have children in your business, it's important for the founder to make sure that the children really want to continue the business. And the founder has to look in the mirror and say, are my kids really skilled enough to take over this business? And, you know, if either the child or children don't want to continue the business or they're not skilled enough, then you really have to look in another direction, which could be another partner, maybe some key employees, or you may have to plan for the sale of the business.
Mm. What are some ways that the owner can get some equity out of the business as well? Because they may have all of their money tied up in the business. So how do they actually have a plan for retirement if all of their assets are in the business?
Well, look, again, it depends on the goals of the founder and who the successor is. Obviously, if the business owner is going to retire and sell his ownership to another partner or to key employees, or he's going to sell the business, getting equity is obvious because he's not staying in the business and he wants to cash in his chips and get paid for the ownership value that he's accrued in his business. When you have children in the business, you know, you have to decide, am I gifting these shares to my children? Am I selling the shares to my children? And, you know, sometimes the business owner doesn't want to put a financial burden on the business and the kids and basically either maintains the voting control in the business so that he or she knows that they could pull money out of the business because they're still in charge, even as they're kind of winding down. And thus, they don't necessarily have to sell shares. Sometimes, as you referenced, Anne, if they don't have a lot of assets outside the business and they want to diversify, then they may want their children to buy out a piece of the business. And in essence, whether the kids do it out of future earnings or they go out and take out a loan, then the parent could pull some money out of the business. But of course, that's going to put some burden on the kids while they're trying to develop their skills in running the business.
Mm-hmm. So there seems like there's many things to consider when you're a business owner looking at moving on. What else can they do to protect themselves? I see you cover life insurance as well.
There's so many different things that come into play in succession. There are legal issues, there are tax issues, there are financial issues, there are financial products, there's emotional issues. So much comes into play. You know, something like life insurance clearly plays a role in this, either as money to buy out the founder by either other partners, key employees, or possibly the children. Key man needs, you know, if something happens to the founder, providing money to the business and to the family and the survivors to keep the business going. You know, obviously, if you pass away early on before you've had chance to really do planning, that's the one way to protect your family. But there's a lot of other things that come into play outside of just something like insurance.
Okay. Can you have insurance where the beneficiary of the policy is the business of weight and not the family?
Well, it depends. You know, that's called key man insurance. So a key man policy, typically the company is the owner and beneficiary of the policy, and it's designed to protect the business. But you could just as easy, let's say the successor is the family, you could say, I don't want money coming into the business and being subject to claims of creditors. I'm just going to have my children or my spouse or an LLC or a trust be the owner and beneficiary. So it doesn't come into the business, but it's providing the liquidity to the family to use towards keeping the business going. They could always then lend the money into the business or invest the money in the business as it's needed.
I see the title of your book. The subtitle is A Guide to Transfer Sales, Family Harmony and Minimizing Litigation. Is that a common thing, minimizing litigation?
Oh, look, there's no question that if you look at most litigation that occurs with estates and people dying, the litigation is sometimes, not always, but sometimes between the children and their mom or dad. You know, typically it would be their mom because most of the businesses were founded by men. So it's friction that occurs between mom and the kids as to the disposition of assets and the running of the business. That's one. It becomes even more prevalent where there's a second marriage. So if hypothetically dad has got remarried and dad is leaving certain things to a second spouse and then has children from the first marriage, that's a major place for litigation. And then the last place you see major litigation is amongst the siblings, the brothers and sisters, because, you know, a lot of times parents are oblivious to what the true relationship is of their children. because a lot of times it's hidden while the parents are alive because they don't want to upset the apple cart. They don't want to get their parents, you know, pissed off at them, and maybe it affects what kind of inheritance they get. But as soon as mom and dad are not there anymore, stuff comes out of the woodwork. So I would say siblings having litigation is probably the most common. And it could be over the stupidest things like, you know, which child got which ring from their mother, or who got the family china or some piece of furniture that was considered important. But certainly when it comes to things like a business and which kids get the shares and how they're treated and who has voting rights, could lead to major, major litigation.
Mm. And I suppose educating the children too would be an important thing in succession planning if they have no knowledge about voting and all that stuff to do with running a business.
Well, clearly, the more active the founder is in doing planning and the more willing the founder is to address these issues openly and transparently with their children, the things that are going to come out of it, you're going to find out that the kids really want to be in the business, that the children you thought were going to run it really want to run it, and you're going to get a sense of what issues occur so that it doesn't wait till you're not here anymore. But as I said in the beginning of our conversation, a lot of times the founder is afraid to do that because they're going to open up issues that could lead to friction with some of their kids and the daughter-in-laws and the son-in-laws. And a lot of times they're afraid to do that, so they keep it to themselves. And then when they die, then everything comes out and the kids deal with it at that point, which generally, if that's what happens, there's going to be big problems.
It's amazing how money changes people. I've seen it before. When it comes down to money, all bets are off sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's nice to have money and it provides a great life for you and your family, but money just causes tremendous issues, especially where there are different assets to give. I mean, if somebody sells their business and they're worth 10 million, 20 million, 50 million, 100 million, and all they have is cash and they just divvy it up amongst their children equally, you know, unless one kid was instrumental in growing the business and feels he or she should have gotten a bigger piece, generally, if there's just cash, there isn't a lot to argue over. But when there's businesses or multiple businesses or real estate that's involved in the business, how you distribute those assets to the children could cause major, major friction.
And do people automatically know how they're going to do it, or do you have to help them figure it out? Because it could be that there could be a black sheep of the family that they may not want to apportion as much to. How do they get around that?
Look, that's a very good question. And what I always say, Anne, is that my role is not to tell the business owner what to do. My role is to tell the business owner the different ways they can do it and what are the advantages and disadvantages of each method, and let them decide what they're most comfortable with. And once they decide, to just reinforce to them again, what are the pros and cons of going in that direction? And then once they decide, then, you know, that's okay. The problem is, most of the times the problems occur in that either the business owner has not done planning at all, or they've made a decision without knowing what other options they had. Maybe they don't have a team around them that understands all the ways to do it. And then they end up choosing an option, and maybe they would have picked a different route if they would have known it was available.
Mm. So what should they arm themselves with when they're coming along to someone like you for a consultation? What do you need to know?
Well, I'm going to need to know a lot. You know, I mean, I need to know a tremendous amount about the business. I need to understand the relationships that they have with their spouse and their children, the relationships the children have with one another. If the kids are in the business, what roles they play, how they get along in the business, where there's been issues in the business, you know, what other assets they have. And, you know, you really need to have a team of advisors together working. You know, generally, a business owner has a CPA, an attorney, they have a financial advisor, they may have an insurance professional, a pension firm, sometimes they'll have a consultant that deals with a lot of the, you know, more emotional family issues. You know, it's important to have a team. A lot of business owners bifurcate their team because they want to be in control and they don't want the whole team teaming up against them. And I would say that where a business owner allows the team to work together, you have a much better chance of having a good plan. Sometimes there's one of the team members, generally their CPA or attorney, who has the most critical relationship, the longest lasting relationship. Sometimes those advisors don't play nice in the sandbox because they like to keep control and they don't like the other advisors involved. And that's really selfish and not for the benefit of the client. So you have to figure that out sometimes. But where you have a team together and everybody's playing nice together and everybody's open, it's a great way to work. Where I kind of feel my skill comes into play is that every person on the team is smart and they know their business and they know a certain amount about what the other members of the team do. I'd like to say that my strength is there's nothing the attorney, the CPA, the financial advisor, the pension firm, the insurance professional, there's nothing that they're going to talk about that I don't know everything that they're speaking about. So nothing kind of slips through the cracks. And even though I'm not a professional therapist, you become a therapist when you do this. So even that side of it, I kind of have a good sense of what's right and what's wrong.
It's amazing. It sounds like it's a wonderful service that you're providing to businesses that are looking at succession planning. So how do people get in touch with you? And if they wanted to find more about you or get a hold of your book?
That's great. So first off, if they go to stephengoodman.biz, they can download my book. There's a free copy there for them to download. So would love your listeners to do that. They could also come to my website, which is called SHG Planning. And on that site, I have probably 60 articles that I've written. You know, I'll give you my bio, testimonials, and what I do in my firm. And my email address is sgoodman@shgplanning.com. And in the COVID days, where a lot of time is spent out of your office, the best telephone number to reach me is my cell number, which is 516-297-7390. We certainly would offer, you know, a free, you know, half hour consultation to any of your listeners if they wanted to call me and just bounce a few things off of me.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your expertise today with the Retire Well, Retire Happy listeners. It's been fascinating and intriguing learning about the intricacies of family business succession planning and how very important it is. So thank you very much, Stephen.
Well, Anne, thank you as well. I appreciate the opportunity and I wish all of your listeners, you know, good health and safety in the world that we're dealing with right now.
That's for sure.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.